or you can look on the monitor. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. God is so good. Now these, you know, I got to say this. I really don't have to, but Sister Claudia said I got to fill 30 minutes or the kids over there can't make their little things for the mamas. So, Mother's Day sermons are a little tough, man. There's one of these sermons that come around every year. They're a little tough. For one thing, I ain't a mama, okay? But the big thing is we want to honor our Victory Life mothers. We want to honor all of our mothers, all these great mothers everywhere. But it's not lost to me. A lot of us haven't had relationships with our mothers. A lot of us are estranged from our children. There's just a lot of things that are going on. There are a lot of people in this congregation that have lost wives this year, lost mothers this year. So it's kind of it's not always a happy thing to talk about how awesome moms are, but we want to give honor where honor is due, and we just want to bless our mamas today, and we do. Victory Life Church has the best moms in the entire world, and we love you so much. God bless you, moms. Give the Lord some praise for these awesome mamas. And I certainly am blessed with a wonderful mom and a wonderful wife. But 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, what we got here, 2 Timothy, this is the Apostle Paul's last known letter or conversation, however you want to talk about it, whatever you want to say about it, to his protege, Timothy. Now, Timothy would go on to be this mighty man of God. And he already is a mighty man of God. And he's going to lead the church in Ephesus. The Apostle Paul has sowed into this man's life. And in this first verse that we're going to read, Paul's starting this letter to Timothy. And he's just thanking God for Timothy. But he's thanking God for Timothy's faith in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that he's pointing out, the Apostle Paul saying, well, this faith that you have received in Jesus Christ, it didn't just fall in your lap. It wasn't something that even the Apostle Paul, I wasn't the one that planted these initial seeds, but you were blessed. There were some special ladies that sowed into your life. And so that's what we see going on in this verse right here, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So these godly women, and thank God for godly women, these godly women sowed into this man's life. Now, what do we know about Tim's father? He was a pagan. He was a non-believer. But these women in his life were believers. They were believers in Jesus Christ, and they sowed into his life. Now, if you jump down with me, look at 2 Timothy. We get just a tiny little picture. 2 Timothy 3, 14, and 15. We get a tiny little picture of kind of what that looked like for these godly women to sow into this young man's life. And, what a blessing. What a blessing it is to have people like that in your life. You know what I mean? A lot of us did have amazing grandmothers and mothers and stuff like that. But you know what's really, really cool is when you see these young ladies, these ladies that see a need, that there's a child in their life that's not even their kid, you know, but there's a connection there. They see a need and they step in to fill that gap. Not that their mothers aren't good. I'm not saying that. Sometimes that is the case. But we see these young ladies and older women step into these lives of these young children and begin to fill that gap. They see that need, and they pray for that young child, and they sow the word of God into that young child's life. So we want to honor you as well. We're just talking today. We're saying thank you, Mom, but we're also saying thank you to everyone that sows into someone else's life, especially these little ones. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Seriously, God is good. And I see that in this congregation. I see that all over the place. I see people sowing into other ones' lives. I see people going out of the way to sow into the lives of some of these kids that are around here. There's kids all over the place. And some of them come from pretty crazy backgrounds. A lot of these kids around here pretty much raise themselves. You know what I mean? But I see other people stepping in and being that tender, loving witness and encourager to these people. And I praise God for you. Just like the Apostle Paul is saying, I praise God, Tim, for your faith. And I praise God, and I'm so thankful for these awesome women that sowed into your life. So look at what, look, relax. All God's people said, just relax, dude. Thank you. Thank you. All right. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14, we get a little tiny picture here of what that tender instruction and tutelage looked like for young Tim. 2 Timothy 3:14. But as for you, this is on down the road. Okay, our first verse was in chapter 1. This is in chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. Don't deviate from what you've been instructed by me, the Apostle Paul, but don't deviate or get off the path from what these ladies, this foundation that these wonderful, awesome ladies had laid in your life. As you go on and you become this minister, and the world is going to come at you from 20 different directions, people are going to come in and say, that's not the gospel. This is the gospel. We need to be, you know, stick with the foundation. Stick with the foundation that was given to you. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. That's important too. Remember who taught you these things, Tim. Timothy, remember where you got this, okay? Because we got to be careful who we take advice from, right? We got to be careful who we listen to. But the Apostle Paul says, listen, remember who taught you these things, man. These were trustworthy people. These were godly women that sowed into your life. Remember that. And anyways, carrying on. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. And I like how he says, don't forget who taught you these things. And we certainly have to be careful who we take advice from or instruction from. You know, the world is a crazy place right now. I mean, it's always been crazy, but it certainly seems like it's getting a little crazier. And I know there's nothing new under the sun, but man, we live in wild times. Can I get a witness? The Apostle Paul says, Tim, don't forget these people that sowed into your life. And that's one of the reasons why I do like Mother's Day. It's one of these times, and I do love Mother's Day, man. It's one of these times when we're kind of forced to remember these wonderful women in our life. You know, the Bible says, give honor where honor is due. If you're alive right now and you can hear my amazing oratorial skills, I don't even know if that's a word. If you're alive, man, you got a reason to say, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom. You know, we're blessed people. Can I get a witness? Apostle Paul says, don't forget who was there for you, Tim. Don't forget these awesome ladies were there for you. Sometimes, you know, awesome moms, awesome stepmoms, awesome, wonderful women in our life don't get the credit they deserve. But they don't do it for that. You know, it'd be good to have a nice thank you every once in a while when you bring the kid the chicken nuggets and the honey mustard and all that, and they're playing on the video game. It'd be nice to get a little thank you here and there, but God notices, you know. And we do want to say thank you to you this morning. Can I get a witness? Yeah, give the Lord some praise. Whatever. God is good. God is good. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. Don't get off the track, man. Remember this foundation and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Verse 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Now that's so cool right there that this is before Paul came into the picture with Timothy. But he's saying, since you were a little kid, your grandmama and your mama, they sowed into your life. They went over the scriptures with you. Thank God for mamas that do that. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. Just a little bit about Timothy there, and the Apostle Paul is just giving God thanks for his faith and giving him thanks for these wonderful, awesome women that sowed into his life. And I thank God so much for the wonderful, wonderful women that have sowed into my life and those around me. I do remember, well, there's a lot of stories about me and Sister Claudia and all that, and she certainly is the best mom in the whole wide world. You know, she's such a blessing, such a godly mom. You know, one time that really sticks out is it was one of the times I got arrested, and so it was late at night, and I spent the night in downtown Pensacola lockup, and I'm sitting around there, and I'm like, man, there's all of a sudden I start to think, I was like, in the TV shows, you get a phone call. I'm going to ask if I get a phone call. So this nice correctional officer lady walks by or whatever she was like, hey, can I have a phone call? Did I get a phone call? And she's like, someone going to answer, sugar? Like, man, I hope so. I think so. So anyways, I make a phone call. My dad answers, and my dad's like, I was worried about this boy. He's pretty much what he said. Anyways, he comes up, and he gets me out of the big house, out of the slammer. He breaks me out of there. You know, he gets the bell bondsman and all that ruckus. And so I'm leaving. It's sun up now. And my dad, you know, he gives me exactly what I need. The truth wrapped in love. You know, he's really loving. And he's telling me, you know, hey, you know, it's time for you to focus on what's going on here. You know, it's decision time. You need to analyze your life and so on and so forth. Well, he was pretty nice about it, but I was really, 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 the main thing was I really was worried about hurting my mom's feelings, you know, and I didn't want her to think that I was this scoundrel or scallywag or nerdy-well or whatever, and which I was, and so anywho, my mom goes to work before I get there, but there's this long letter, and I'm like, oh man, I want to read this, man, because a letter is different than someone telling you something, because you can kind of forget or let it go away a little bit, but a letter's forever, you know. And I was like, man, what is this woman going to say? But it was the truth, and it was the truth wrapped in love, but it was so tender and so loving. And my mom can be very, very stern, and just she doesn't like nonsense. Sister Claudia doesn't like nonsense, and she doesn't particularly like whining or people in general. No, I'm playing. No, she does. She loves people. But I was not, I didn't know what to expect when I got the letter. But it was the truth, and it was so tender. And it was just saying, you know, Paul, you sure have messed things up this time around. No, it wasn't really like that. But she was saying that, look, man, look, I love you, son. Nothing you ever do will change that. But you got to look at your life. It's time to make some changes. And that was certainly, honestly, that was the beginning of some changes. But I always remember that time of when my mom and my dad could have been, I mean, I wasn't the good guy in this situation. You know, I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. I got busted by the man doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And so this certainly could have went a whole nother different direction. But my godly mother and father knew how to approach it. You know, there was love and there was truth. There was truth and there was love. They didn't skirt around what needed to be said, but there was love and compassion. And that's exactly what I needed in that moment. So I just thank God for my godly mother and these godly women in our life. Look at Exodus 1 and 22. I mean, I got a lot more stories, but whatever. Exodus 1 and verse 22. So now we're going to talk about, we talked about Timothy and how these godly women sowed into his life. Now, if you're familiar with Exodus chapter 1, you kind of know where I'm going with this. We're talking about Moses' mama. Probably probably my favorite mama in all scripture other than Mary, you know. You got to put Mary way up there. You know, what a godly woman. But looky here at Moses' mama. And I think there's some truths, some encouragement that us mamas, I mean, I'm not a mama. Oh, man, I'm butchering this. God is good. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Okay, what we all can learn something from this situation with baby Moses and mama. So Exodus 1, verse 22, it's right here on the monitor. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. Okay, so the fear here, so if we backtrack a little bit, or a lot of it. Joseph, a Hebrew, comes into Egypt. He's sold into slavery into Egypt. And he rises to second in command of all Egypt. He has the favor of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And so Joseph, this Hebrew, brings his family, his entire family, all his siblings and their children and wives and his father into Egypt, into the land of Goshen. Now the Hebrew people, they begin to have children and more children and more children. So by the time this particular Pharaoh gets into power, there's so many Hebrews or so many Israelites, and this Pharaoh does not have anything nice to say about the Israelites. there's so many of these Hebrews that this Pharaoh's like, if we get invaded by one of our numerous enemies, these Israelites are just going to join in with our enemies and wage war against us. We can't have that. So we need to do something about this. So at first, Pharaoh says, he gets a couple of the midwives, and he says, look here, as these Hebrew ladies go to have babies, I want you to kill them babies. And so the midwives didn't do it, and God blessed them for that. But Pharaoh had to go to another plan. And so he turns it up a notch, and he says, looky here, anytime a male is born, you guys have got to take your baby, your male, and throw it into the Nile River. You got to drown it. You got to feed it to the crocodiles. You got to get rid of it. And he's not worried about the daughters because he's worried about these young men, these babies growing up to be military age people that will fight alongside of Egypt's enemies. He's just stressed out about that. He's paranoid about that. And Satan's certainly using that to kill these precious little babies. So that's why we have this verse right here. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. And this is the first thing that jumps out at me when I read that, man, is Satan always comes for the most vulnerable. You know, he always comes for the most innocent. I mean, look at this whole abortion thing, and it looks like something great's about to break through, and I praise God that it is, and I know it is. I don't know if it's going to happen with this, but I know Roe v. Wade will be overturned. Give the Lord some praise. We will definitely see that in our lifetime. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. You can take that to the bank. God is faithful. That is going to happen. Okay. Now, having said that, we see how over the last 50 years, man, in America, you can go and you can slaughter your baby. You can sacrifice it to these demon gods because that's really what's going on. It's in ignorance, but that's what these people are doing. Okay. We could just talk all day about that and the heinous things that are going on behind the scenes and stuff that's not even front page news about what they're doing with these babies. But there's so much evil going on in the world. And Satan always looks for that most innocent, that most pure thing. And what is more pure than a baby? I mean, that's about as innocent as you can get in this world, okay? Especially a baby in the womb where the mother's natural instinct would be to protect that child, you know? But we've bought a lie, and it's not just America. You know, but the world looks at America, you know. We're supposed to be this light on a shining hill, and here we are, the number one exporters of pornography and all this crazy stuff. You know, and Satan surely is busy messing with the minds of America's youth, you know. And see, here's the thing, is Satan only has limited power. And he has the power that we give him. But these little kids, man, if there's not a mama, if there's not somebody sowing into their life, you know, saying there's a real enemy out there that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, you know, and he's going to manipulate you and hold a bunch of shiny carrots in front of your face and trying to get you to march off that cliff. Matter of fact, look at 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil. We do have an adversary. We do have an enemy out there. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So he's very limited in what he can do, but he's pretty good at what he can do, you know? So he wants to mess with our kids' minds. He wants to get them to go off and do all this crazy stuff. And, you know, he did it pretty well with me. To be honest with you, I didn't even need Satan's help, man. I wanted to go out there and test the waters and sow my wild oats and all that rubbish, and I sure did, man. But thank God for a praying mama. Thank God for a praying father. And like what Reverend Steve said this morning, you know, thank God for a godly young wife who, like, kind of stepped in and said, we got babies. You need to act like you're a grown-up. Thank God for them wonderful ladies. Can I get a witness? All God's people went, then Pharaoh commanded, okay, we read that already. Okay, but Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's having a heyday, but the victory's already been won. But you know what? And he knows that. He knows that. But just like the Germans, and this is an old saying from Fred Rott, but it makes sense. Just like the Germans in the closing, let's say the Nazis. Let's say the Germans. we'll say the Nazis. It doesn't matter. We don't have to be politically correct, do we? No. I'm the only one talking. I'm the only one that'll get in trouble. You know, I'd be like, I left as soon as when he said Germans, I said, let's go. I said, get the kids, let's go. Okay, so anyways, Fred Rott, my dad, used to say, just like the Germans in the closing days of World War II fought more valiantly and tenaciously than ever before, even though they knew all was lost, they wanted to slow down the inevitable and they wanted to take as much as the enemy with them as they could. So here we have Satan using the same strategy. He's a lost foe. He's a defeated foe. But he messes with our little minds and tries to get us to do all kinds of crazy stuff. And sometimes he can't get us to do crazy stuff, but he might be able to get our neighbor to do a little crazy stuff. And so bottom line, what I'm trying to say this morning is we live in a crazy world, and we send our kids out into this world. Now, thank God for these godly men and godly women that sow into these young people's lives. Look at Exodus 2, verse 1. Exodus 2, verse 1. Now remember what's going on in Egypt. If you have a baby boy, you got to feed it to the crocodiles. And this is true, okay? It's biblical, it's true, but you can also, you know, if you're skeptical, I will pay $13 on your trip to Egypt for you to go to Egypt to this hieroglyphics in this thing and see where this was written in their history. I got $13 on your trip. Exodus 2 and verse 1. Now a man, Exodus 2 verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, a Levite woman. Verse 2. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that the son was a fine child, every mama's going to say that, right? Have you ever had somebody show you their child and like, it's a fine child? And you're like, I've seen finer. Yes, all mamas. That's the wonderful thing about mamas. All their babies are fine child. But this is scripture, and Moses was a fine child. Everybody's babies are fine. Oh my gosh. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. This is pretty cool because this was a death sentence for them if they got caught with this baby, you know? But she did everything she could do. Listen, mamas. When the world is coming against your babies, you know, we got to be those godly men and women that stand in the gap and do everything that we can do, you know, with the short amount of time that we have, you know, to instruct them, to teach them, like Timothy's mom and grandma who taught them the scripture. And, you know, when you set time aside to teach your children scripture, you know, they will remember that forever. They might not be able to pull that verse up and quote it verbatim right now, but you know what? It gets in their heart. You know, and it'll be there in that moment when they need it, you know. And that's something that Sister Rachel and me try and work on. You know, we want to build up that foundation. But anywho, we only have a certain amount of time. And Moses' mama certainly knew that. By the time this baby's lungs got developed enough to where the neighbors could hear it, something was going to have to happen. But she used that time to the best of her advantage. She nurtured that child. She prayed over that child. She did all she could do in the natural. And what she could not do, she gave the baby to the Lord. Amen? And that's what we got to do. That's mamas, daddies, aunts, uncles. That's what we got to do. You know, we do what we can, but what we can't do, what's bigger than us, we give the baby to Jesus. And we see that perfectly played out right here. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen. I don't know if I've said that word right. I never know. Bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it. You see what's going on here? This is crazy talk, right? This is crazy. She takes her three-month-old baby, she takes a basket, and she makes it waterproof, and she puts her baby in it, and so she puts it in the Nile River. Man, that's what she's doing. And the baby's out of her hands now, but she's giving it to God, you know. And we all know about Moses. Moses is going to change the world. Amen? Moses is going to change the world. And so this baby, she puts the baby in the Nile River, and you know, there's the crocodiles, there's the currents, there's all this stuff that could happen. I mean, could you imagine this mother's heart at this moment? Knowing in her heart that if God doesn't do something to protect my child, one way, shape, or form, my baby is going to die. Either through some weird dehydration, sun baking thing where my kid's just out there in the open Nile, or the crocodile, whatever. The sky's the limit on what could have been running through this mama's mind. You know, but she said, you know, I've done all I could do in the natural. Now I give it to you, God. And it's not like that's the when all else fails, give it to God. That's like, make sure that you keep God in the process, that I give my children to God. Amen? Okay. All right, tell the truth, shame the devil. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. Let's go to the next slide. We're saying thank you to all our wonderful mamas. And I know for some of us, man, it's a difficult day. It's a little weirder day. But God is good. So we see this played out through Timothy's grandma and mother, and we certainly see it played out through Moses' mother. This proverb. Now, this proverb, I have to tell you, this is a proverb. This is something that is not promised, but something that has been observed by King Solomon. Does that make sense? That something doing his research that he was big on doing, you know, smartest man ever lived, does this research and it comes to the conclusion, which is a godly conclusion. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Okay? You got a limited amount of time, and I see you mamas doing it. My mama certainly did it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart. So we have this limited amount of time to sow into these babies' lives. You know? And we might see some rebellion. We might see some crazy stuff. But see, that's when I put that baby in God's hands and I'm trusting in God because I'm going to stand on God's promises. You know what I mean? Where God says if I ask for anything in his will, it's going to happen. And where the good book says that he doesn't wish anyone should perish. So I say, God, Lord Jesus, I know that in the natural it might look like my babies have no desire to serve you. It may look like they don't want to have anything to do with me anymore or whatever, but I give them to you, God. And even when it looks like they... You know, God is a good God. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of love. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of justice. But this is God's will that your baby serve him. So we give that to him. Amen? Okay. So anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart. Now look at Galatians 6:9. Mamas, I just want to encourage you on the way out. I just want to encourage you, awesome mamas, awesome aunts, awesome stepmamas, awesome grandmamas. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, because it can get pretty weary. It can get pretty tiring of trying to do the right thing, especially when it looks like there's no fruit. Looks like your babies aren't going to change. You know, you just worry to death about them. We give them to God. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Isn't that a wonderful? Now, that is a promise. That is a promise from the Lord saying, don't give up. Don't give up and you're going to reap an amazing harvest. Even if you do not see the fruit with your own eyes, don't give up. God is faithful. God is faithful. God knows what he's doing and God keeps his word. Don't give up. Now, let's go back to our story in Exodus. We got this little verse down here, Exodus 2:9. Let's just finish up our little tiny talk about Moses and his mama. So she just says, God, you know, there's nothing else I can do. I got the other babies here. I got the old man. This baby's lungs, it's getting loud. I got to give the baby to you. I trust in you. You know, I got Aaron. I got Miriam over here. So anywho, she puts the baby in the river. Her daughter, Moses' mama's daughter, watches Moses from the riverbank, kind of keeps an eye on it, you know, and then baby Moses drifts down or he's at the place to where Pharaoh's daughter is doing her bathing. And so Pharaoh's daughter, the king of Egypt's daughter, the daughter of the king who made this evil, wicked decree, you know what I mean? Here's a baby crying. And so she sends one of her servant girls to go look. And, oh, sure enough, there's baby Moses in the basket. You know, I'm sure everyone knows the story, but here we go. And so she has compassion on the baby. And then here comes Moses's mama's daughter. Everybody with me? Moses's mama's daughter, who sees Pharaoh's daughter's holding baby Moses. She runs up and is like, hey, would you be needing anyone to take care of that baby, to nurse that baby, or, you know, whatever? Because there's a lot of ladies over here down in Goshen that got breast milk with no babies. And, you know, so Pharaoh's daughter's like, yes, I do. So see how awesome things happen, man, that when we give things to God, this amazing thing happens. And look, in our own lives, for us mamas, that thing, like, man, I squandered that time I had. I didn't use that time I had with my children. I didn't use it to the appropriate way. Here I am trying to do things all on my own or whatever, you know, and I could have sowed into their life these godly principles, and I did not. Well, see, when a thief is caught, he's got to pay back. You know, when a thief is caught, see, God can renew the time. And see, here's in a world where the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy all the male babies, this godly woman that refuses to give up, gives her baby to God, she is now blessed to where she gets this extra time with her child to pray over him, to sow into his life, and to spend this wonderful time. I'm saying that God is going to bless you, ladies. God is going to bless you, ladies. You're going to reap a wonderful harvest, even if you don't see it in your own eyes. Don't give up. God is faithful, and we love you, and we thank you. Exodus 2 and verse 9, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me. And this is Pharaoh's daughter talking to Moses' mama. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me. What a wonderful privilege Moses' mama has. And I will give you your wages. What? What? You're going to pay me to take care of my own baby? See, God blesses us. God takes care of us. God rewards us. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Main thing I want to say this morning is, women, we love you. We love you and we appreciate you. And I just want to encourage all you mamas, aunts, uncles, stepmamas, grandmamas, don't give up. Keep praying for these babies, because God's in the middle of all this. I love you guys. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that these wonderful, precious women of Victory Life Church are going to have a wonderful day of rest and relaxation, and that they are going to be blessed. And we just love you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you that we will have a heart of gratitude towards you, Lord God, and that we will pray for all this craziness that is going on in this world, and we will be that light, we will be that encourager, and we will not be ashamed or afraid to stand up for what's right. Thank you for your guidance and your leadership, your love, grace, mercy, and faithfulness. You are so good to us, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So